Good morning. Unto one of the churches of God, which is in Leola, and is called by the name of Charity Christian Fellowship, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all those everywhere who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours, grace, peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God for you because of His grace given you in Christ Jesus. Kind of modified that from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I know I've shared this beginning thought before, but it kind of hit me harder as I was praying for a message. I know many of you were at the Reach Conference and are full and overflowing with evangelism, and it's very beautiful. I love evangelism. God has called me into the city of Lancaster, and is such a beautiful sight when you preach the Word of God and they listen, and they're almost like they're hearing it for the first time, and wonder comes over their hearts, and faith fills them, and they get born again. It's very exciting. But when I pray and ask the Lord for a message here, He always says, preach to the church. You know, one thing about evangelism, preaching on evangelism is somewhat a little easier because it's out there. Preaching to the church is a little harder. It's in here. Another thing I was thinking about when I was praying for this message, as you know, Dale's family and ours have been going into Lancaster one Sunday a month. And we've really been enjoying it. We've been sensing God's Spirit there. And now there's been talk about adding another month, adding another Sunday, or maybe even just going full time. And it really hit me. I know I knew it, but the realization kind of set in that in order to be there, I can't be here. Not necessarily here, but here. That's my comfort zone is there, not here. But I like being there. And then I found myself torn by the realization that someday I may be leaving. And also this month marks our 25th anniversary of coming to Charity. I thought, wow, 25 years ago. Some of you weren't even born then. 25 years, Brother Aaron. Amen. We came in 1994, and I think a couple other families, I think the Lloyds came in 1994, and the Keys. Where are you, George? Right, 1994. Anybody else come in 1994? Raise your hands. Well, happy anniversary to the Lloyds and the Keys. So my mind was flooded with memories as I was thinking about that. 25 years. Thank you for this church called Charity. You are a huge part of my life. I want to thank you for those who had the courage to correct me and rebuke me over those years. I needed it. I still do. But I thank you for those times. I remember. I don't get rebuked as much, and I still think I need it sometimes, so I'll give you an open door there. Thank you for those who walked humbly with your God. You know, I know who some of you are. God shows me. I'm not sure who all of you are, but He tells me, you know, pride is a big strong hold in my life, and I battle it every day. And the Lord, and I say, Lord, help me with this thing. And He gives me examples, and it's you people. He says, watch this woman, watch her life, watch her joy, and then think about the situation her life is in. Watch this man who's truly humble. And He shows me who you are. It's not from a message. It's not from a tape. It's not from a preacher out there. It's here. You are the ones who inspire me. because of your walk with the Lord. You are the ones who taught me many things about life. You're the ones who helped humble me when I needed it most. Thank you. I think about sometimes the elders and deacons, sometimes they might feel lonely. And they watch for our souls and care for us. And they may ask themselves, who watches for our souls? We're watching, Brother Aaron. We love you guys. Brother Paul, Abner, Tim. We are behind the scenes watching and praying and loving you. That includes your dear, humble wives who stand by your side and support. We're praying. We're holding you up in prayer. Many of us. Many of us. Brother Lester, Brother John Mark, wow. We are so blessed here. I want to thank you for those who don't agree with me. And I don't agree with you. Thank you. And yet we have a love bond for each other. I've experienced that. We have sharpened each other and become meat for the Master's use. I want so bad to mention so many of your names to honor you, but for concern I might miss someone who has been such an incredible blessing, I won't. God will reveal. Thank you for those who have struggled and been honest about where you're at and shared your real struggles and real problems here for us to hear, for us to get a burden, for us to love you, for us to pray for you, but also you gave us courage that we also can find healing and strength and faith again. Thank you, church, for the many hours of prayer that you put into each other. And yet, fasting too. I love that. This is a house of prayer. I love you, Church of Charity. Thank you. Now, Abner, I wasn't here last Sunday to hear your message, and my opening verses are Luke chapter 8. I don't know if you read them too, but let's turn there anyway. I was at a baptism, beautiful baptism last Sunday. Let's open up to Luke chapter 18. In verse 1, Abner read this again this morning, and he spake this parable unto this end, that men ought to always to pray and to not faint. And I do think my message is probably going to go in a different direction than maybe what you heard last week. Saying there was in a city a judge which feared God and neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her by her continual coming. She wearies me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? I was also thinking in Luke chapter 7, talking about faith, talking about being healed. I was thinking about the centurion that came to Jesus. And in verse 9, you don't have to turn there, Luke chapter 7, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. He heard the centurion say, look, you just say the word, and our servant will be healed. And he turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I said unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And then I also thought about the verses in Luke chapter 8, when the woman with the issue of blood was going into the crowd and said, if I only touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And so she touched him and Jesus said, who touched me? And when all denied, Peter said, and they that were with him said, Master, people were thronging you. The multitude was crowding you. And you ask, who touched you? Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people, for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. You know, these are telling words from the Bible. They're exciting words. But in the quiet of your life, in the quiet moments, you may ask yourself, what happens when we don't get healed? What happens when we don't get delivered? How come we see some, but not more, of these things? How come there's no great voice from heaven? No experiences with the Holy Spirit? I've heard about these things. I know real live human beings that have experienced these things. You know, one of my heroes of the faith is Brother Zach Poon, and he talks about this love language with God. You know, maybe some kind of tongue. I don't know how that works. And it's not a human conversation. I'm not human, but an English conversation or whatever the words we use. But it's a love language, he says. I don't have that. I don't have that. Sometimes I kind of like, wow, Lord, what is that like? I read about it. I hear about it. What's that like, Lord? Now, I firmly believe that there are mysteries to unlock and greater heights to climb to. Brother Claire and I pray that all the time, and we get glimpses of that. I believe that I am seeking that in my own life. And I believe in healing and faith and praying for healing. I believe in all that. But when we read scriptures like these, we can also put an unjust, heavy load on ourselves and others. Jesus, in His Word, in the old scriptures that we read in Luke, He was teaching us about faith. He was teaching them and us about faith. You know, the Bible says, and this was quoted also, and this is so exciting when I hear scriptures quoted that we're familiar with, but we need to let them sink deeper into our hearts, because if they get over familiar, we're not going to understand them. We're not going to believe them. But Hebrews 12 says, looking unto Jesus. So we're looking at Jesus. He is the author. He is the writer. He's the finisher of our faith. He is the finisher of our faith. Who for the joy, love that scripture, the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is the finisher of our faith. Nothing gets added to Jesus except believing. Most of my Christian life, I've had this kind of craving, kind of a little secret you don't know about, that I would actually hear an audible voice from the Lord. You know, like in 1 Kings 19, where I think it was Elijah, it said God's voice was not in the wind, it was not in the earthquake, it was not in the fire, but in a still small voice. So I dug into that still small voice. I said, I want to know what that was. Was that an impression that God put on our mind? And everywhere I looked, that was a voice from God. It was a real voice from God. And I said, Lord, I want that voice. I want to hear from you. To this day, when I wake up in the middle of the night, or I take a long walk or a drive, I still listen. I don't think that's wrong. I still listen. God wants us to listen, to hear from Him. Sometimes I try to shut my brain down. Don't think, Jeff. Don't think, don't think, don't think, don't think. I remember doing that. You know, just don't think of anything. Try doing that. It's not easy. I don't think I've succeeded. My wife says I think too much. My brain is just full of thoughts going flying all over the place. Incoherent things, but anyway. So I quiet my brain down, I listen. Now, I do hear from the Lord. I totally do hear from the Lord. I've never heard that audible voice. But when I take walks with the Lord, things flood my heart and my mind. And I love that, and I thank God for that, and I believe that's how God's going to speak to me and probably to you. I remember one time, I still wanted this to hear this voice. I'll show you my immaturity. I remember I went up into the woods. This is a long time ago. Maybe not that long ago. Well, it was. My children were pretty small. And I just said, "Lord, I want to hear from you." And I was shouting as loud as I could. That's why I went into the woods, so nobody would hear me. "I need to hear your voice." I just had this craving. And I started, as I was writing this message, I started thinking, man, that sounds like those priests on the other side of the temple that didn't call fire down. You know, I was like, no, I shouldn't be doing that kind of stuff. Jesus is the finisher of our faith. Nothing gets added to Jesus but believing. Almost every time I get in that mode, almost every time, probably every time, God clearly tells me, in my heart, you already have all of me. He said that. You already have all of me. What are you doing, Jeff? You already have all of me. You have my word. You have my Holy Spirit within you. Just believe. And I thank God. I thank God He, in my immaturity, He still reminds me. He still helps me see clearly. Now, prayer is a conversation. No question about it. Take the time to listen. It's very good for you. We must always do that. Always take time to listen and hear Him speak. In however way He speaks to you, take that time and He will speak to you. So getting back to those earlier scriptures, especially with the centurion and the woman with the issue of blood. Was there anything superhuman about them? Was there anything extra special about those people than you and I? No. I got a no down there. Thank you, Larry. I needed that no. I need somebody to do that for me. If you could sum up in one word, what would cause Jesus to answer their prayers? That would cause Jesus to answer their prayers. What would that word be? If you could sum up in one word, what would that word be that caused Jesus to answer the centurion's prayer and answer the prayer of the woman in the issue of blood? What would it be? Faith. Anything else? Add to that? No. This is faith. They were no special than we are. God does hear our prayers. For sure He does. And God loves us. For sure He loves us. But I want you to go. Alright, let's go back in time. Let's go back into your childhood. Go back. To when you were a little boy and a little girl. Think about this. You're back to when you were a young boy or a girl, and you often ask dad or mom for good things. And many times, they'll, if it's a good thing, then they say, sure, yes, I will give you that good thing. You're secure, and you know you are loved. So you get another thought in your head about something and you go and ask. Now you know it's a good thing, at least you perceive it's a good thing in your understanding. You already kind of know the outcome. It's going to be a yes, it's a good thing. At least I think it's a good thing. And this time, mom or dad says, no, no, no. Remember, you're still a little child. Everything screams at you saying, how can it possibly be no? You don't know what you're saying. You don't know what you're doing. You get impatient. You may even try other ways to get what you want. If this is a good thing, why would you say no? Why? How many parents give their children everything they want? Don't raise your hand. I know you won't anyway. To the child, when they ask and a parent says no or wait, it defies their logic. To a child it does. There is no understanding of why there could possibly be no or wait. All they can do is what? Have faith, right? Believe it's good. It's right. You know, the child, if they thought the child wasn't okay, they probably wouldn't have asked. So now, the child says, how come? How come, Dad? How come, Mom? And Mom or Dad or Mom, I say Mom first, sorry. Mom. I think that's in our household. I hear, you know, when my children, I get this group me, and all the children say, let's go to Mom's house. I said, okay, I'll go too. Oh, wait a minute, I live in Mom's house. So Mom's a pretty powerful person. It's Mom's house. I don't rent there though. I live there too. It's my house too. And I kind of like that. It's special. I like this fact that they love Mom that much. So anyway. So they say, Dad or Mom, how come? And the answer comes back right now. You just won't understand. You just won't understand. Not a very good answer to receive, but it's probably true. You won't understand. You're too young. Maybe you might hear that. But you need to trust me. And I love you. You won't understand. The answer is no or wait. But you need to trust me. And I love you. And I know what's best for you. You believe that? Do you believe God knows what's best for you? This scripture was already quoted too, but I really love this scripture. Take that, what we just heard, and throw scripture on top of that that says, my thoughts, in Isaiah 55. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God's ways are not our ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Wow, that's really powerful, you know. So what takes more faith? You know, some people want to be healed or delivered. Believing that God will heal or deliver your loved one, or expecting that God may never do that. What if you're that person? I do this all too often in my immaturity. I say, God, why are you not healing this person? Why are you not delivering that person? I mean, you wake me up in the middle of the night. We have prayer meetings. Why are these things not happening? We've had prayer meetings. We fast. We see the heartache. These things just are such a strong answer. We wanted these persons answered. The Bible says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my way, saith the Lord. Going back to the parent, trust me, I love you. The answer is no or wait. Trust me, I love you. I love you. Trust me. I am sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that God has been delighting in our prayer meetings and our burdens. And our times of prayer, private prayer and corporate prayer. You know, going back to that scripture in Luke chapter 18, which says, God will avenge us of our adversary. I started thinking about that. God will avenge us of our adversary. Who's our adversary? Our adversary is our enemy. Is our sickness our enemy? Are our troubles our enemy? Are our financial difficulties our adversary? We might think they are. Are our personal conflicts our adversary? God says He'll avenge us of our adversary. Those things may not, or probably aren't, our adversary, our enemy. God could have put them in our lives for our good. And we're saying, avenge us of these things. What do we need to be avenged of? He says He'll avenge us speedily. I know for sure what I need to be avenged of. My pride. My selfishness. It's my frustration with others. Or even God. I told the Lord, I'm not going to lie to you, Lord. You know who I am already. I need to be delivered from those adversaries. Do we need to be avenged of not accepting God's will on your life and mine? Because we think it's supposed to be better? We think our lives are supposed to be better? If God's putting this on our lives, we want to be avenged of it? I had at men's retreat, I was teaching about or sharing about something that happened with me when I was 47 years old. It was an attack of the devil. I don't want to get into too many details. I said it had not happened again. It had never happened before, and it hadn't happened again. But it did happen recently in my life. And March 1st happened again. This year. And it's been just got this oppression. Went off into, it was a snowy night. I wanted to find my comfort zone because I had to find a comfort zone. My comfort zone is walking, and it was in my jammies in the middle of the night. I said, well, I can't do that. It's snowing out. I don't think that'll get, the neighbors will like that too much. And so I went into I just walked into my office. And I put on a message on Mark. And I remember I turned the heater on, all alone, 1:30 in the morning. And I just kind of took some, I didn't want to go in the house again, so I just took some of my coats I had and propped them up as pillows, and I just laid there. And I just prayed through that thing. Just battle Satan. And at 4 o'clock he left in the morning. I was giddy. I was so happy. I was giddy. I remember, because you just know it when he leaves. You know it when he comes. You know it when he leaves. And I remember crawling in bed. I remember throwing those covers over. It was 4 o'clock in the morning. And I was almost, I was just giddy with joy. And I couldn't fall asleep for another half hour, but I was so happy. I said, Lord, you love me so much. Now, I would not wish that oppression on anybody. We need to accept what God gives us and battle through prayer and faith. And he left. It's gone. You know, this Christian life is real. The battles are real. So where does faith come from? Let's turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. For whosoever shall call, verse 13, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them who preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Skipping down to verse 17. So faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I'm not advocating preaching. Preaching is important. Quentin is right. Prayer is the most important. Totally agree with that. That's where the battles are won and lost in prayer. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's where we need to have our faith, studying, listening, and believing the word of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, Psalm says. His word sets us in a path of life and gives us faith to walk out whatever comes our way. His word sets us in a path of life. And he gives us faith to walk out whatever comes our way, whatever comes at us. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. I'll talk a little more about this thing of if God doesn't heal. Is God really God Or is it really God who will heal everyone who prays in faith? How many of you know who Johnny Erickson Tata is? One of her quotes is, "The weaker we are, the harder we must lean on God." She was a quadriplegic at the age of 17 in a diving accident. She's been in a wheelchair for over 51 years. She has no use of her hands or her feet. And I also think, I heard she had breast cancer several years ago. She has chronic pain every day. So she was asked, Johnny, he was asked, "Have you ever prayed that God would heal you?" She said, "Oh my, yes, many, many times." She would have her friends come when she was in the hospital, and she'd say, they want to read the Bible, scriptures. And she always said, "Well, go to John chapter 5 and read that. It talks about all the different people at the pool of Bethesda, you know, coming for healing. One man was there for 38 years. It says, read that scripture." There were many sick and disabled people along that pool. So then she said, when all was quiet and she was in her hospital bed at night, she would imagine herself as one of those people lying by that pool next to the other paralyzed people. And she would beg God and plead with God to heal her. "Jesus, don't pass us by. Don't pass me by, Lord Jesus." She said after 2 years and being in different facilities, her hands and her feet never got that message. She finally left the hospital terribly disappointed. She goes on to say one evening, she was living with her sister and they were watching a Christian program and an ad came on television. It was about a healing service in Washington, D.C. They went to that very first service. Let's go. Want to get healed. The place was crowded. So they put her in a section. They call it the wheelchair section. The people, some of them had crutches, some had white canes, they were blind. She said there were about 50 to 60 of us there in that wheelchair section. The lady healer came on and a spotlight came on her. The music, the chairs, the excitement, the anticipation. Testimonies were read, scriptures were read. Then she said the spotlight shifted to a corner of the room. And it said, it appeared that people were getting healed. Seemed like it. There was applause. The spotlight shifted again to another corner of the room. More applause, more testimonies, more apparent healing. Then it happened again. Johnny said, "Holy Spirit, come to our corner where the real hard cases are." Spotlight never went there. They said they were wheeled out just as they came in. She left very disappointed. She said, "What kind of savior, what kind of rescuer fails to hear the cries of a paralytic to be healed?" But you know, instead of driving her into depression, instead of it driving her to despair, it drove her deep into the Word of God to find out who this God really is. Wow, I admire that. Johnny dug deeper into God's Word. Does God heal? Sure He does. Does God heal in the 21st century? Sure He does. So she found something in Mark chapter 1. She was reading and studying and she found different verses and she started reading a deeper understanding of who Jesus really is. She goes to Mark chapter 1 and that, you don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but that talks about Simon's wife in verse 30. Simon's wife's mother was laid sick of a fever. And Anna, they tell of her. And she came back. And he came and took her by the hand, Jesus, and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her. And she ministered unto them. So then, at evening, the sun set. I think they were in Capernaum. And they brought unto Jesus all these different people who were sick and diseased and blind. And had devils in them. And he healed them. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed, in verse 34, many of them that were sick of divers diseases. He cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. So that day's over. And he goes, and morning comes. And in the morning it says, rising up a great while before day, they went out to a solitary place. Jesus went out to a solitary place to pray. So morning comes after all that healing, all those miracles. And he went to a place to pray. So in verse 36 it says, and Simon and they that were with him tried to find him. Where's Jesus? Where did he go? We need to talk to him. He said, he finally found Jesus. He was praying quietly in the morning. And they said to him, Jesus, we were looking for you. The Bible says, all men seek for thee. All the townspeople are coming. The word has gotten out that you're doing all these things. And there's all these people are looking for you. More were coming to be healed. More were coming to be touched by Jesus. Everyone's looking for you. It's the next day. All those great things that happened last night. And Jesus said unto them in verse 38, let's go to the next town, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. But this is the reason why I came, to preach the gospel. It's the gospel. That is why Jesus is here. It's to preach the gospel. Now it wasn't that Jesus didn't care about those other people, but his main focus was to bring eternal life to people. To bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, that is why I am here. That is why I came. The same Jesus who healed withered hands also said, cut them off if they cause you to sin. Jesus came to preach the gospel. He came to tell you that sin kills, that hell is real, that God is merciful, and His kingdom can change you. That's His main focus. That's the gospel. Jesus is looking for a deeper healing in our lives. His plan is to rescue us from our own sin. Remember I told you before about what I needed to be avenged of? Johnny says, God came to heal her of her stiff-necked stubbornness, her discontent, her sour disposition, her frustration, her self-defeating attitude, or for hogging the spotlight. She needed a deeper healing of those things. It's interesting in 2 Corinthians, Paul was talking about worrying about being exalted above measure, himself. He said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations that God has given him, that there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Isn't that interesting? The messenger of Satan to buffet me. And he said, lest I should be exalted above measure. See, God was getting, he was getting revelation from the Lord. He was seeing things. He was hearing things. He was doing miracles. And then he said, and he admitted, he was honest. He said, I asked God 3 times to take this thing away from me. Paul. Apostle Paul. He said, God, 3 times, 3 different times. God, take this thing away. God said, no. Did Paul have enough faith to have it taken away? Yeah. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, Paul says, most gladly will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. What are we seeking in life? Do we want the power of Christ to rest upon us? or do we want a comfortable life? What are we looking for? Just some. I can go on and on, but just a few other thoughts I have about these things in Scripture. Paul was closing out his letter to Timothy, and he was mentioning different people. He says, "Salute this one," and this one is over here. And he says in verse 2 Timothy 4, chapter 20, he says, "Erasmus abode in Corinth," and then he gets to his buddy Trophimus. He's just making some closing statements, but he gets to his buddy Trophimus. He says, "Well, I had to leave him sick in Melita." So he just left Trophimus sick in Melita and moved on. He could have healed him. Paul has cast out devils. I think about these things a lot. I think about suffering. I think about things that I want to see that I expect God to do. And I come to the conclusion, if I never see another miracle or a miracle, if I never speak in tongues, if I never hear God's audible voice, what if someone never gets healed or delivered? Will we give up? Or will we cling to our faith? Many have given up or lost their way when God said no or wait. And that was not an acceptable answer for us. I remember one time, probably the hardest time of my life, I was having some family struggles and some difficulties. I was just walking in my office and I was just pacing. And I kept saying, "Lord, I actually think I'm losing my mind." I remember telling the Lord that. Because I think I'm losing my mind. And I had a verse up there in Psalms. And I looked up at that verse and I just started pacing again. And I said, "Lord," I remember just making a resolve that night. I said, "Lord, no matter what happens, I'm not going to let go of you. No matter what happens, I'm not going to let go of you." Now, I meant that with all my heart. In other words, do what you want, Lord. Whatever. You just do it. I may not like it, but whatever happens, I'm not going to let go of you. That was a turning point in my life. Accepting God's will, accepting the hardships, accepting the pain, accepting loss of reputation, which is a good thing. Accepting those things, I'm not going to let go of you. How can we really let go of God? How can we really do that, if you think about it? When everything else is taken away, at least we can always hold on to Him. But yet I see depression set in. And people get angry. And people lose their way. And they turn their back on God. "I've been hurt too much." I hear that so much. "I've been hurt too much." We all have been hurt. I bet we can have each one come up here and tell a story. A true story of your life and your pain. I look around and I know I've been here 25 years. I can see some of your hurts and your pains. Don't let go of God. Hold on to Him. I think of my beautiful father-in-law. My wife and I, we got born again. We prayed for her parents and prayed and prayed and prayed and cried and loved and prayed. My, oh my, my. And to this, when he died, we weren't sure of his salvation. And then, do we put a guilt trip on ourselves saying we didn't have enough faith? I don't think that's what God wants us to do. I think that's a pit and it's a dead end. This thing of, "I need more faith." God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. I don't understand. You know, we are so logical people. We love to analyze and break things down and get the facts. And God just, like Reuben would say, I like when God does this part here, right? When he says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. He likes that. I like that too. Because the facts don't line up anymore. Sure, God loves us. Sure, God loves my father-in-law. And there's always hope. For sure, there's always hope. And we cling to that hope. You know, the Bible makes it clear, your life and mine is like a vapor. It disappears for a little while and vanishes away. Then it's gone. You know, like I was writing this message and then I realized I was here 25 years and I went, what month is this? March. Oh, this is the month I came here. 25 years is gone. It's past. We need to accept the life that God has for us and find joy in it. Can we have enough faith and still not be healed or delivered from our troubles? I believe we can. That's a hard thing to say. I know that. Maybe to some it's comforting. Maybe to others you're mad at me for saying that. I don't know. God's the one who says no and yes, not me. I love this story in Acts chapter 16. You can turn there if you like. Acts chapter 16, I have it typed out. I'm going to read it. Starts in verse 20. Talking about Paul and Silas in Thyatira. He says, and he brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. They teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither do they observe being Romans. And the multitude rose up against them, and the magistrates ripped off their clothes and commanded to beat them. So here they are beaten. And when they laid many stripes upon them and cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who when receiving such a charge thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast with stocks. So here they are, beaten. Here they are, people looking at them with anger and hatred and death. You know, hatred is death. You want, get them out of my life. I want them out of here. Let's kill them. Beaten. And then they're in prison. And what do? In verse 25. They prayed and they sang. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and he sang unto God. And the prisoners heard them. What a powerful testimony. And there was a great earthquake, and the fountains of the prison, foundations of the prisons were shaken. Immediately his doors were opened, everyone's bands were loose. They were singing and praising God after they had many stripes upon them, and they were sitting in a dark, dreary prison. What were they not doing? Was complaining. Accepting God's will. They were singing. Jesus is enough. What is the reason for Paul's contentment? Well, Philippians 4 will tell us that. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned that in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. For I know how to abase and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. How to abound and how to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. He will give you the strength you need through your times of sufferings, through your times of difficulty. You know, when I was in the office at 1:30 in the morning, I had, you know, life or death didn't matter. Nothing mattered except God. And I just prayed. I just prayed. And Christ brings strength. We are at our weakest. Christ brings strength. I think part of the all things that Paul's talking about there, when he says, I can do all things, part of it is to be in want, to suffer. I can get through those things too, who strengthens me. I was really blessed recently. I've been really blessed. I've been seeing answers to our prayers. I was visiting with Brother Lonnie. I was so thrilled. You know, he was having a difficult time. And not a lot really seemed to change, except I was sitting next to him and I saw a light in his eyes. I don't know where you are, Lonnie, but... And I'm not one. My wife was saying, you were talking with Lonnie a long time. She said, it was just great. It was joyful. It was a lot. It was exciting to see God delivering him and giving him purpose and life again. And it was so exciting. And I'm not one... You know, I don't engage in long conversations usually. I'm usually kind of hitting and I leave. I don't know how I do that, but I do that. But I was so excited. It was a smile on his face. Hope is rising. He's trusting in the Lord. And you know, I'm not sure his circumstances are basically all that different, but his face is turned upward. Praise God. Our prayers are being answered. Let's rejoice with him. I went home and I remember laying in bed just like, Lord, thank you. We thank you for what you're doing. Yeah, there's still a need of deliverance. But there's still lots of needs. We all have lots of needs. God is working. And then last Sunday we went over Ron and Christine's too. I actually hadn't seen Christine in quite a few years. And I knew that terrible sickness had come upon that home. And I had this kind of this picture of what she might look like. I was so changed. It was so different. I was thrilled that when I saw Christine for the first time, I had these expectations that all I saw was humor and spunk and an upbeat spirit and true faith settled in her heart. And spending time with her, watching her and Ron interact, I told them they looked cute. And Ron said he hadn't been told he looked cute in a long time. But they were just interacting with each other and they had love in their eyes and they were, the banter. It was so exciting. Bright hope. And, you know, there's sorrow there. We know that. We pray. But there's so much hope. Praise God. At one point during our conversation, Christine was talking. She said, I want to jump up and kick my heels, but I can't, so I'll do it in my heart. And I'm like, wow. Wow. Faith is an amazing thing, isn't it? God is answering prayers, even though maybe they're not being answered the way we want to see them. He's still answering prayer. Faith is rising. I went home and I just said, Lord, man, you're just doing some amazing things here. Let's keep it up. Let's keep those prayer meetings coming. Let's see what God can do. True faith to me means Jesus is enough. And that's what I saw in both their lives. I was with Lonnie and with Christine. Jesus is enough. I like that song, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Sorrows like sea billows roll. Can you say that? It is well with your soul. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God can give us peace in the midst of our sorrows. I believe there can be destructive forces of selfishness in our lives. And it is possible that our faith can be tainted with those things. That we are tainted with what we believe God should or shouldn't do. True faith brings joy in the current situations of our lives. I like that scripture, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. You know, I crave to see healing in our midst. I crave to see those in prison set free. I don't believe that my impatience for these things will hasten our Lord to perform them. I believe that in our seeking, we must also be content. Find contentment. Stop being anxious. Philippians 4, 6 says, be careful or be anxious for nothing. I'm an anxious person. So God has to remind me, be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer. Brother Quentin, prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving. You have a happy heart. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding. There's that understanding again. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Can we say, if so-and-so never gets healed, we will still worship you? I think we should. If this plaguing sickness follows me through life, can we say, I will still worship you, Lord? I will serve the kingdom of heaven from my house, from my sick bed, from my poverty, from my pain. You know, I told you before, I always kind of listen for that audible voice from the Lord. Maybe that'll never happen. Someday I will hear His voice. I won't be so quiet. I believe it'll be like the sound of many waters after this life is over. Should someone getting healed or free from bondage? I was thinking about this thing, you know. And again, in my immaturity, I say, Lord, you know, if you can, you know, if some miraculous healing will happen or some bondage free, you know, it'll transform our church. And God says, Jesus is enough. Jesus can transform the church. I can transform the church. Jesus said, let's be careful we don't add anything to Jesus to get there. Can we say, do whatever it takes, Lord, in my life to draw me closer to You? I just have a closing verse and some comments. In Psalms 37, it says, delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give thee desires of thy heart. You know, at first maybe our desires would be for healing or deliverance, or have pain removed from us. But when we think of Jesus on the cross and the pain that He bore and the demonic attacks that He experienced on this earth, you know, Jesus can connect with us. He can empathize with us. He has shared in these pains and these sorrows even unto death. His heart connects with ours. Can we connect ours with His? Can we say, Lord, make the desires of my heart, whatever desire is on Your heart. Can we be so filled with Him that all our heart's desires are His? Real faith means Jesus is enough. God bless you.
Thank you, Jeff, for inspiring our hearts and leading us again to Jesus Christ. Wow. Talking about faith and unbelief. Last weekend, on Saturday night, we were walking through the Jewish quarter of Brooklyn, and at 9 o'clock p.m., their supermarket opened up after Sabbath, and we walked in there, and there was a section there that was all products from Jerusalem, and there was a bin there of seeds, and I was stirring the seeds around and kind of looking at them, and then I looked to see what the title was, or what they said they were, and it was a mustard seed. Little tiny seeds, a bin full of them. And then, of course, you know where my mind went. What Jesus said, faith like a mustard seed. Wow. Someone have something you want to testify of? There's a hand over here. Anyone else? Get your hand up. I think we got the second microphone. Go ahead, Elam.
I told my wife this morning that I feel empty and hollow. But I feel like that void is being filled. Mm-hmm. And the verse came to me this morning, that exact verse that's up there. And I came in here this morning, I looked up there, it's like, okay, I believe God. And then also Jeff's message, and two things that really hit me, or ministered to me, was the raw human suffering. You didn't polish over that at all, and that was powerful. Which, in the world, the world tends to do that, and in without God, we tend to do that, just polish over human suffering. It's like, it'll be all right. Well, maybe it won't, actually. But with God, we can suffer, and it will be all right. And we heard that a lot this morning, joy. Or that it will be all right, and because of that, we can have joy. So that really ministered to me, that raw human suffering and the joy that we can have, that it'll all be all right.
Amen. Thank you, Elam. Another hand right there. Go ahead, Ron.
When I realized what the message was going to be, I knew in my heart I had to share something. Mm-hmm. I have three words to summarize my thoughts and my heart about this message. Number one, amen. Number two, amen. And number three, amen. As many of you know, we've been plagued with sickness at our home for a long time. My wife, Christine, from the womb, she had things going on that were not right. And so she has good days and, well, better days and bad days and better months, bad months, better years and not so good years. Now our daughter Faith, quite ill for a number of years. And we've heard a lot about faith and believing for healing, and we do believe for healing. And I still pray for that, and I will still pray for that. But like Jeff said, sometimes God says no. And when my children were little, if they would have, one of them would have asked when they were toddlers, you know, if they saw a sharp knife, looked so shiny, looked like it would be so much fun to play with, looked like it would be a good thing, if they asked me for that, I would say no. And they wouldn't understand why. We're like little children to God. Many times I've said, God, just heal my wife, heal my daughter. You can do it. And I know He can. I have no doubt about that. But am I going to believe in God only if He says yes to what I want? As Jeff said there at the end, am I still going to worship God even if He says no, you need this in your life? And sometimes I think it takes greater faith to accept God's will when He says no than it does to believe for healing. I still believe God can heal, and I hope and maybe He will. But if He doesn't, well, first thing, God does not owe us anything. He suffered and died on a cross and rose from the dead. If He never does anything else for us in our lives, that's enough, because that's going to be for all eternity. We've inherited a broken world because of sin. We have to deal with these things. But God has not left us alone. In these sufferings that we're dealing with because of the sin of mankind, starting from the beginning, in these sufferings, God can and does work all things together for good. Can we believe that enough to let God do that? Sometimes I think, wow, what would my life be like now if my wife were healed and my daughter were healed, our children are older, what we could do for God instead of all the time and energy spent caring for sick ones. But maybe that's not the right question. Maybe the right question is, what can God do in our lives as we deal with these things with the right heart attitude of trust in God? What could God do with us with the testimony of that? So let's continue to pray for the needs that we have, and at the same time, hold it with an open hand.
Amen.
Say, God, Your will be done. And we'll be satisfied with that, and we'll look for the good that God can bring about even in the sufferings.
Thank you, brother. Thank you very much. Encouraging. Carol, you have the microphone. Go ahead.
God is so incredibly good. He is wonderful. I'm so in love with Jesus. I can't tell you how much I just love him with everything I've got. And I want to worship him a whole lot better than I do. And I pray, oh, Lord, help me to worship you even better, with even a greater, what's the word I want to use? Greater fervency of spirit. That's what I want. And, you know, I just can't tell you. The scripture that comes to me is, it is good that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. Do you know what I would be like now if I could see like everyone else? I hate to think of what my life would be. I would have so many distractions. I spent so many lonely hours. But those lonely hours I spent in prayer and worship. And I just love my Jesus. I love him with everything I have. And I'm looking forward to seeing him and knowing him even better. And I think of that scripture, John 17:3, that they might know him, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. It's all about knowing him. And even when I was little, and I had to go to a boarding school when I was 6 years old, and had to live away from my parents, God was so good in sending me there. And he drew me so much closer to him as a result of going to a boarding school for most of my life. I mean, when I was young, and I praise him for that. God is so good. His ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. But he has only the best in mind for us. He has the best things in mind for us. And he wants to draw us closer to him. He does. He wants that beautiful love relationship to break forth. And a lot of times it breaks forth without being busy, just spending time alone, many, many lonely hours alone. That's what my life testifies of. And I'm so glad for the relationship that he has given me. May it be a blessing and encouragement to others.
Praise God. Thank you, Carol. Your life is inspiring to us. Go ahead, Ivan.
Yeah, again, was very blessed. That's thank you, Jeff, for letting the Lord lead you in this message. And I just thought I needed to share that this message was very much for me too, as I also deal with chronic pain, neck issues, and chronic fatigue. And it has caused me to, Lord, use that in my life to more readily see the needs among us and all around us. And there are many needs around us. I just had to think of several brethren who may not be here this morning. Brother Paul and maybe Adam. I'm not sure if he's here or not. But may the Lord give you grace and your struggles there in your lives. I also had to think of... I don't know how many of you read the book, The Heavenly Man. The Lord allowed me the blessing of being at a meeting somewhere where he spoke. He was a Chinese pastor who suffered much persecution in prison many years. And I had the privilege of hearing him in person and his message. And like Paul and Silas, when they praise God in their troubled times, that's when things started to happen. And they had broken both his legs. Brother Yun, from his Chinese pastor, so he don't attempt to escape. And someone came in and prophesied that the Lord's going to heal him sometime soon, or he'll be released. And it wasn't until in his pain and misery there in his jail cell that he started singing and praising God. And very soon after that, he had the same experience as Paul and Silas did. He got up and walked out of prison, past the guards, never seen him. So that's in our time. That still happens. So thank you again for the message.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.